Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everyone. This is, that's right. Guess what? This is Taino Sagrado San Acordi. We're in Taino Radio, straight out of Lenny Lenape territory here in New York City. This is going to be an awesome show. Thank you for tuning in. And guess what? Guess what? That's right. We have Stephanie Bailey with us. Inaru Boria. What's up? How are you?
Hey, San Acordi.
I was waiting for you to say that. Well, this is going to be a very interesting show. It's not spooky or anything, but this is our first show of many shows highlighting Arayeke Yukayek. Okay? And basically, you know, Taino Radio is sponsored by Arayeke Yukayek as a service to the Taino community, to the indigenous community, because we're all indigenous, and the whole world, actually, right? You know, we try to educate our Taino culture. How you feeling today? Doing all right?
Yeah, I'm in great spirits. I can't say otherwise. We're doing a lot with Arayeke, and, you know, the spirits and the ancestors are guiding us, and, you know, it's a good feeling.
It's a very good feeling. And, you know, 1492, it's a long time ago, but I was reading recently, someone said it's only like, what, 10 generations from now? And say 1492, is that correct? Around 10 generations, maybe?
So, yeah, roughly 10.
Roughly. So that's not really a whole lot. And because of that, there's a lot of cultural continuity that still exists in the islands, right? And that's something that gives us hope. Now, I just want to let the audience know. Hold on a second. I just got a little message here. I just want to let the audience know that Arayeke Yukayek is not a – it's a tribe. It's an indigenous Caribbean tribe. It's not a nonprofit. It's not a community group, so on. It is a – well, here's the foundation. It is a self-sovereign, self-determined Caribbean indigenous nation. We have no ties to no federal government. We have no ties to the IRS, no mm-hmm. ties to anything, right? So right. In this show, we're going to talk about the title of cacique because that's been thrown around a lot since the I would guess since the early 80s, 90s, a sense of the Taino movement or restoration movement. It's a title that's been thrown around of cacique, but I would like to take the moment tonight to really talk about what does that title mean. So let me ask you, Stephanie, what does that title mean to you, cacique?
So to me, right, when I think of the word cacique, what I envision, because it's more than just a title, right? It's servitude,
right,
in my eyes. When I hear mm-hmm. the term cacique, I think of an individual who looks for the best ways to ensure that their people are safe, are heard, that the culture is being retained, that the culture is being taught, that education and resources being provided. And that's the person that really takes charge to make those things happen. They're the person that says, all right, look, it's time to put boots on the ground. It's the equivalent of how the leader of a wolf pack operates. You let everybody go in front of you and you stay in the back, and you scraggle along in the back to lift up your weakest people, because you're only as strong as your weakest person. So when I think of a cacique, I think of that. I think of the leader of the pack that is humble enough to stand in the back and push the people forward, propel the people forward, propel the culture, and maintain that cultural continuity.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. I love that. You know, when I was reading through the Columbus Journal, there was a cacique of the, I guess it was the Bahamas Island, that on Columbus, this is before even he left the ship, he had invited the chief, that cacique, to come on his ship, and he had dinner prepared for him. I guess it was like a goodwill gesture, you know, to make peace. And as he embarks in his whole new journey, and I'm giving a little positive twist there, you know, but I guess the excitement of reaching land after so many months in the ocean, you know, there's optimism and stuff. So according to the journal, he wrote that this leader was kind of not so nice. He was kind of greedy because the food that he was being served, he didn't let his warriors take any. You know, he ate it first. You know, he ate a little bit of everything. So Columbus kind of like got a really poor impression of him. Mm-hmm. And he wrote that. And so what do you think that was all about?
That's his way of making sure the food is safe. He's going to sacrifice himself for his people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So here's the principal chief of this community was definitely eating this food that could have killed him. You know, he didn't know who these people were. So I guess he was following the protocols. So that's a true powerful image right there. Or what is a cacique, where you put your life on the line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, traditionally, you know, it was the Bahike that taught. It was the women that chose the Bahike from birth as a child through the maternal line. And then this child will be taught in caves through the Bahike how to become a leader, how to become a servant to the people. So I just want to put it out there that, you know, this title cacique has a lot of layers of spirituality, a lot of layers of history, lineage, and so on. So it's something that, wow, as a Taino community, as an indigenous community, we really can't take it lightly, right? What do you think about that? Is it something that, you know, we throw the title around, but you know, how do we honor this title, you know, knowing the history?
It's definitely nothing that can be taken lightly. It has to be a decision that is created and respected from all aspects of it, because just off of the example that you gave, right, where the cacique that Columbus encountered was willing to put himself forward to be a martyr for his people to ensure their safety and their sanctitude, you know, and their health. Right. You have to be able to know that the person that you're going to call cacique, or the person that you're going to call tribal leader, or the person that you're going to put in that position to really be a voice, you have to be able to entrust that they're going to be able to provide those same or similar sacrifices. So it's definitely nothing to take lightly.
Right. I think it's cool, too. I want to highlight a cacique from Kiske, his name was Kaunabo, the husband of Anakaona.
Anakaona.
And the thing that was cool about Kaunabo, who died in sea because he was taken to Spain against his will, but the thing that was cool about him, that he wasn't Taino. He wasn't a traditional classic Taino. He was of the Kalinago tribe. So somehow our people, our ancestors, value not just your ethnicity, you know, like, you know, oh, you got to be Taino to be cacique, but actually the character
the
of that
valor.
Person.
Yep.
Right? So, and they, I guess they adopted him into the culture, and he became a chief. He became this leader, you know? So that's another insight, right? The valor, right? The character. So this is something that's, that our people were very, I guess, liberal about, you know, but also they just focused not just on the, what's that word I'm looking for? They focus on the character, right? That mm-hmm. was more important than anything, you know? So
absolutely.
Yeah. So people are listening right now. I just want to say, you know, Arayeke Yuka Yeke is a community in action. It's evolving, like all different nations throughout the Taino movement and stuff. You know, it's always a flux. Many have come, many have gone, many are still active, you know, and we've evolved as a people. So right now, you know, Arayeke Yuka Yeke, you know, what we're focusing on is land restoration. We want reclamation. We want land. This is the way we're going to preserve the culture, is having land. And can you tell us a little bit about that, Stephanie, what you've been doing about that, of those efforts of reclaiming land and so on?
So what we're looking to do just in general, right, with Arayeke, is we've been working really closely with a small team of people. And the idea is to really preserve that cultural continuity, both within the diaspora and in the homelands, in the Caribbean, in the greater and lesser Antilles regions. So for the people who don't know, the Taino people expand all through the lesser and greater Antilles. So we're talking Cuba, Jamaica, Haiti, DR, Puerto Rico, Bahamas, that whole region. So what we're currently working on, aside from really setting a strong foundation of leadership and education and retaining original traditions of the Taino people and teaching those amongst our enrolled members and our community members, is we're really trying to work on the social aspect of getting our people to a place to have land that can be self-sustaining. So we want to reclaim land within Puerto Rico and really bring back honoring the culture and honoring the ancestors. We want to eventually create a self-sustaining community where we can create jobs and housing and education and cultural program and, you know, really revive the idea of what the Taino is in a modern sense. So currently we're in the works of putting together a petition for land acquisition, for funding for land acquisition. So that will be shared with Taino Radio soon.
That's right.
We just opened up our tribal enrollment. So we do have now official Arayeke Yuka Yeke Taino members and, you know, applications, tribal ID cards. We're really trying to put together the cultural educational part. You know, we're trying to train people in medicine. We're trying to train people in spiritual practice, you know, but we really are trying to build a family, a community that really looks at one another as sisters and brothers and, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and, you know, friends. Land is the goal. Creating that self-sustaining community, like I said, within the diaspora as well as the homeland is the goal. And more sooner than later, you're going to hear a broadcast from Taino Radio with Sanacori and Inaru Boria, and we'll be in Puerto Rico on our land talking about what we're going to be continuing to do in that aspect.
That's wonderful. That's great. And, you know, we also have some members who are from Dominican Republic, and there's also some talk about
Haiti.
Acquiring land there as well. Yeah, with Haiti as well. Yeah, acquiring land so we can create
Cuba.
Bridges, right?
That's right. We're going to try and get
Cuba.
We're going to try and get everywhere.
Cuba's going to be a challenge, but I think we can do that.
Yeah.
Well, sky's the limit.
We'll have our work cut out.
Yeah, the sky's the limit. And anyone who's listening, you know, there's always opportunity as well. Like, you know, since we are under the banner of, you know, Taino Nation, Taino Tribal, you know, it's open to all, right? I guess it will be open to all. And it's, you know, it's not about affiliation, purin, but it's about, you know, being of the land, right? Being going back to the land. And sharing that, because we're family. We're intertribal. We're family. So exactly. I guess this
and
is
everybody
a true model,
needs supporters and allies.
Yeah, definitely. So this is our attempt of unity at a local level, international level. You know, this is the unity that we're going to throw our hat into, you know. Because I know for the past couple of years we've been talking about unity. So, you know, all are welcome. You know, all are welcome. And we have supporters, too. I just spoke to some people who are Lakotas. And they actually want to – they actually mentioned, can we live with you guys? So, you know, because the whole sense of being indigenous, you know, that's the key.
Right.
That's the key.
Well, it's definitely a different scenario from years ago. Years ago, it was just like, hey, well, we thought you guys didn't exist anymore. And now, you know, it's like, hey, let's get together. Let's be family. Let's, you know, share medicine. Let's share, you know, information. Let's come together and fight for the same things. And that's the beauty of just being indigenous in general, the unity that really comes from indigenous identity and coming together and working through that ancestral pain that we've all had to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's two levels. There's the tribal membership enrollment, but there's also the supporters as well. And and you know, these are folks that are not necessarily of Taino ethnicity, but they want to support. And I'm telling you, this is the key. This is, you know, I was watching that poster on Facebook last year, and I love it. It shows like an indigenous, it's a black and white. It shows an indigenous woman, elder, and she's holding a sign that says, "The beginning is near." You know, so.
Oh wow!
So this is it. Yeah, the beginning is near.
The beginning is near. Definitely. I think we're right there at the cusp of it. It's all just started.
Right, exactly. So, I just want to state that, you know, I just want to make this announcement as a Mexique, you know, of Arayeke Yucayek. I just want to say that, you know, you will be our first tribal leader in the north. They say tribal chairwoman. I guess in our Taino circles, we say cacique or cacica. Right, casica. I don't know if that's grammatically correct. I'm kind of poor with the language, but I think if you earn that title because you've been working very hard, collecting these enrollments and you know keeping the vision alive, and I think that's very important. That the women, you know, that's another thing. The women, I believe, need to lead this movement. You know, back to the land, back to Mother Earth. So I just want to share that with the public, people who are listening, and Stephanie Bailey, you know, Wuria, which means woman who works, will be the cornerstone of this movement in the interim until we, you know, continue to grow. So at this time, we have a guest with us. She's also an enrolled member. And can you please share your name for
Okay, I'm going to share. Yes, it's me.
Who's you?
I'm
going to
share my easy name, Jennifer. Because I'm still trying to learn the second half of my Taino name, but I'm going to get there. I'm awful with languages, just awful. Unlike my cousin who knows like 50.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a shot at it. Come on, what's your name? What's your indigenous name?
Uh-oh, I ain't going there. Next time, I promise. I'll be ready next time.
Wait a second, hold the press.
He said, I'm going to find it and tell everybody.
Hold the press, wait a minute.
So,
okay, so
Prima, I have to say congratulations. Not that it's a surprise
thank you.
All, because you are boss.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait a minute. Inaruguaroko. Inaruguaroko.
Yeah, it's that end.
Yeah, woman who knows, Inaruguaroko. So woman
I know
who
a
knows,
lot, but
man,
not,
yes,
not language.
Well, you're learning, right? The voting Kianiki. Right?
I am. I'm going to actually have to just do like a tutorial with Stephanie on Zoom because she's really good with them. So I'm just going to pass to her like I did earlier today.
You know, I got you.
I'm saying, well, you know, well, we got Javier helping us out, so that's good.
That's right. That also helps us out.
Yes.
Yeah, but check it out. So Jennifer, you know, what do you think? You know, this is a, you know, we've made a turn here, a cornerstone, and we have Stephanie accepting as tribal chair, or as I say, the cacica. What do you think about that?
I think it's exactly what our ancestors are calling for. I think that she was born with the talent and that she has the knowledge and the understanding and that she's done the legwork. You know, a lot of people can want to be leaders, but if you don't do the legwork to understand, and I mean truly understand, not just read a book and go, okay, yeah, I know what this is about. No, she has immersed herself in every way possible. And for me, that's what it really means to be Taíno. That's what it really means to be part of Ariete, is to actually immerse yourself in it fully. And I'm not saying let's live like our ancestors did in 1400. That's not what I'm saying.
Right. Right.
Because we can't. That is not a life that we can live anymore. The world has moved far beyond that, and it is time for us to grow with that in our way, in our ancestors' way. And Stephanie's done that. She's done that in every way that's important, you know. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm 100% on board. And I just, you know, however she needs me to help her, I got her back. She earns exactly where she's at.
Y'all gonna make me cry live on the air. Goodness gracious.
I'm just keeping it real. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I think this is important for future generations who maybe going to hear this show or whatever. It's like it's important that you know, this is organic. This is organic. It's how we grow as a family, and it's not magic. You know, this is something that's organic that we have to evolve, continue to evolve, right?
Yeah.
And you know, yep. And as a community, we're transparent. We try to teach. We're teachers, and this is it. But what do you think about, well, I'll ask you ladies, what do you think is the challenges of, you know, wow, it's been over 500 years. Colonial system is still in place in many of our islands and our community. So, wow, what's the challenge of establishing an indigenous community in the 21st century in the Caribbean and the diaspora? Like what's the challenge or challenges that you see?
I think getting rid of all the misconceptions. That's really going to be key. You know, colonialism is really deeply rooted in our people, just in general. And then you have all of the stereotypes that come with the idea of being indigenous, with being native. And all of those misconceptions are going to have to be completely proven otherwise before people are really going to start opening up their eyes and listening and looking and delving into the entire situation.
I think that part of doing that is going to be to help decolonize the minds of the people on the island, of the people who call themselves Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans, Jamaicans, Bohemians, whatever it may be, people who won't even recognize this part of their bloodline. It's about decolonizing them. And like Stephanie said, the only way we can do that is by teaching. I told you both before, my main goal in this is to learn what I can to teach others. Because if we don't take the time to teach others, and not just people in the tribe, but everybody, we're never going to get anywhere. I see a lot of different native tribes from Turtle Island extending a hand to people of all races and all cultures. And to me, that shows them trying to teach as well. Because while extending that, they're showing, hey, look, we're not what you think we are. And I think that's important. I think Stephanie's right that we have to teach people. We have to show them that the misconceptions they have grown up with, that they've learned, are wrong. That it's just a constant colonization of our people. And it doesn't allow our minds to be free. And the only way to free our people is to teach our people.
Wow, that's good. So the Tequina tradition, the teachers, the Tequinas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, as far as I know in a lot of studies I've done is, and also speaking to elders, it was the women that were the teachers, right? It was the women that did all the teaching and the organizational part and stuff. What do you all think about that, bringing that back to the fold in the sense of as the bedrock, the foundation of a community?
I mean, foundationally speaking, somebody has to start, you know. So if we keep it within tradition and the women start the process and, you know, we still have male educators as well, then so be it. You know, if we happen to have more females than males, hey, you know, it is what it is. The education is still going to be taught. As long as the person who's doing the teaching is keeping true to the correct information, I don't see a problem with it.
Oh, nice.
I think that I'm going to agree with Stephanie. But I think that, you know, I'm studying in anthropology right now and doing a lot of world history. And what I'm learning is that in just about every culture, the women were the first teachers because we're the mothers. And even when we're not mothers, we're caretakers. It's a natural thing within human society for women to be teachers because it's when you have children, when you have siblings, you as a woman are usually put in the position of having to teach that child. And it's a natural instinct when you have a child. I'm sure Stephanie would agree that when you have a baby, you want to teach that baby. You know, so
absolutely.
I think it's a natural position for a woman to be a teacher. Not saying men can't do it because I've had some great male teachers, great male professors. Even my husband has taught me a lot. But I think that as a natural base of teaching, women are the first teachers of just about every human being on the planet. Even if you look at a culture like Sparta, women were still the first teachers. Yes, they took the children away at seven, but until seven, mom was the one who taught you everything.
Right.
So it's just a natural position, I believe, for us. Maybe not for every woman because every woman has their own thing. But I think as a whole, it's a natural place for us to want to teach.
Wow. You know, I hear this often from people who are not part of the movement, the Ainu movement, or just, you know, just regular folks. They say that it's too late. It's too late to do just something like this, you know, in the indigenous community in Puerto Rico. Right, it's never too late. And why is that? Like, you know, we had our time,
you know,
that's it. Now we just have to evolve.
But we never had our time. You know what I'm saying? We may have had our time in prehistoric culture, fine, but we never got our time. You know, there are a lot of different tribes all throughout the world who were lost. There are a lot of tribes who are still fighting. But for the most part, we were never even given a chance. And I'm not saying that doesn't go for other tribes. It does.
Right.
But
we just never had the opportunity to evolve.
Indigenous, yes, we never had the opportunity to evolve with the world.
Mm-hmm. So everybody has that idea of the 1,400 Taínos, Naguas,
yes.
and, you know, fire and stone. And there is no ideal statuesque perception of what a modern Taíno is. So when Arayeke
exactly.
walks in and Arayeke presents themselves, we have traditions. We have culture that's honored from 1400s and prior, but we're doing it in a modern way, in an evolved way,
mm-hmm.
honoring the ancestors while still being able to put that through to what today means. So, no, I'm right there with Jen, right there.
Exactly. Wow, that's good. That's good. Because you can get a lot of these questions. Also about the mixture of the blood, you know, that blood thing always comes up, you know.
Yeah,
and,
we don't follow blood quantum for Arayeke. That will never be a thing. Blood quantum was created to ensure that Native Americans and Indigenous people would no longer be Native Americans and Indigenous people. That's why they put a number, a percentage on what is accepted for them to be federally
yep.
recognized, because they hope that once you dip under 10%, now you no longer have anybody left in your tribe. So you know what? We're going to take this land back. We're going to go ahead and do what we want to do with it, and y'all are just going to have to go figure it out. So blood quantum for Arayeke is non-existent.
I agree with Stephanie. I mean, the truth of the matter is you can look at a lot of different tribal units, again, from the world, and you find that a lot of them, you know, they've gone by that thought, by blood quantum, by we've got to stay just us. And I've got friends from other tribes who have literally told me, I can't get married. They're all my cousins. Literally, they're all my cousins. And that's not okay either. You know, we shouldn't have to go by something someone said hundreds of years ago. You know, this is about the movement and the culture, not about the bloodline. It doesn't matter. You know, and the truth of the matter is you can't look at somebody and know their bloodline. You can't. I don't think the blood quantum percentage, all that really matters. I really don't.
Okay. Well, there's definitely a lot of challenges ahead for you, for Arayeke and Yukayek. Do you have any closing remarks, Stephanie? You think that what you can tell the public about Arayeke? What are we? You know, what's the next steps? What's going on? Where you
can
find us?
I think the first and the most important thing that any and everybody needs to know regarding Arayeke Yukayeke is that the Yukayek was built off of an idea of honesty, purity, and traditionalism. So while people are going to question a lot of the things that are done within the Yukayek, the language that we use, and the way that we administer our teachings, what I personally request from everybody who's going to approach us, as well as everybody who's in Arayeke, is to proceed with respect. Because at the end of the day, the mission and the idea is solely community building. It's bringing back a tangible piece of our history and putting it on land. That's the sole purpose of what we're doing. We're trying to really bring the cultural continuity and bridge that between the diaspora and our homelands. Nothing more, nothing less. We're not here to fight. We're not here to argue. We're not here to puff out our chest and say we're better than you are. We're here to build. Nothing more, nothing less. And again, it's all through kindness and education and that cultural continuity. So that's, I think, the biggest thing that I want everybody to understand first and foremost. When you hear the name Arayeke Yukayek, know that it's noble people. The noble people will rise. That's what Arayeke is. So we will continue to carry ourselves exactly as our namesake is. As far as what's coming up next, land, land is going to be our primary focus. There's going to be a lot of fundraising attempts so that we can really work on having a safe space for our people home back in PR, and then move into, you know, Dominican Republic and Haiti and, you know, wherever else our people welcome us. And we also have a naming ceremony coming up for the adults, and we have a naming ceremony in August coming up for our children. So it's going to be, you know, the next few months are going to be packed with a lot of fun and, you know, spiritual activities. And, you know, for anybody who is interested in following what we are doing and, you know, getting additional information about what our mission is, you can follow us on Facebook. Just look for Arayeke Yukayek Taino, I think is what it is, right, Sana Kori?
Yeah, it's
Arayeke Yukayek Taino,
right.
Mm-hmm. On Facebook.
Yep.
And then, Jen, you have the handle for Instagram, right?
Hold on. I think it's just Arayeke, but let me double check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we'll also update everybody as well with all of our endeavors here on Taino Radio through the Taino Radio Facebook page and the Taino Radio Instagram page and the website as well.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, is just Arayeke, and it's got our symbol on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, so there's plenty of ways to reach out. This is very important. We're going to have some biweekly shows updating the people about Arayeke. And, you know, we've been highlighting different people, different Tainos from different, you know, communities as well. We'll continue to do that as a sign of friendship and unity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Taino Radio will be that piece of unity, you know, service to the community. And we'll continue to do that. So, wow. We're going to end the show now. This is a beautiful show. So we have Stephanie Bailey Inanu Boria as the tribal chairwoman or cacica of Arayeke Yukayek. And we have Jennifer here. Inaru Kwak. Kwak. Oh, I forgot the name. What else going on with me?
Oh, see?
Kwak.
You wanted her to remember.
You gave it to me.
Kwak. Kwak. Oh. Yeah, it's that, you know, it's the colonization.
My husband's got it down, though.
So check it out. So what we're going to do is I want to play one final song, okay? And this is going to be like a blessing song for you, Stephanie, and the women. You know, Jennifer here joining us. And
well,
this is a song that was written
me.
By... Yeah, man, thank you for coming on. And this is the Atabe song. She's the first teacher, right? Atabe, the creatress, the one who started it all, who had a son, Yokahu, had no father, born of the water, the Lord of the Yuka, but the creatress, where it all began. So this song will be like a blessing song, okay? Thank you, everyone, for listening. Yep, we'll be back.
Atabera gua gua bibi gua uara bibi. Atabera gua gua bibi gua uara baba. Atabera gua gua bibi gua guakiana guti. Atabera gua gua sui mako. Atamera wa washu imako. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.